Sports Talk, Josh Elliott Wolf, Thomas Drantz here with you, coming to you live from the Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. It is Canucks Talk. I am still filling in for Jamie Dodd. Thomas Drantz still here as always. You can read his work at The Athletic covering the Canucks as well. How are you?
Doing well, buddy. How are you? It's going to be an interesting day today. Canucks started off game day with a lot of news.
Yes.
We got some commentary from Brock Besser. There's a lot of lineup news, and the Canucks have a very, very tricky opponent tonight, the Winnipeg Jets, who are going to hit 100 points on the season already if they win tonight. Is that correct?
I will pretty double confident. Check for you right
pretty
now.
Pretty confident they'll
yes,
be a 100-point team with a win tonight.
100 points in 69 games if they win tonight.
How nice is that?
Nice. Nice.
It's very nice.
Way to get that in early, guys.
The nicest.
Yeah. Anyway, 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. You can text in Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. I got one more. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at RackSteel.com. Go ahead.
Well, to get 100 points in 69 games, you know what you have to be?
What?
Good two ways.
All right. We got a lot to get to. There were a couple interviews this morning, including one with Rick Tocchet on the station on Halford and Brough with Jamie Dodd and Jason Brough. We will hear a bit of that and get into some of the comments from Rick Tocchet in the whiteboard. So let's get into it right now.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is the whiteboard, your daily deep dive into what's up with the Vancouver Canucks. So we will get into the game tonight and all of that as the show goes on, as the whiteboard goes on. But I think we should start with Rick Tocchet speaking on the Halford and Brough show, speaking to Jamie Dodd and Jason Brough this morning. And the
I just want to talk and set the scene, and then I'll get producer Dom to cue up the newsier of the two quotes. Not the one that's going and resonating more with Canucks fans yet. We'll have plenty of time for that. But the newsier of the two Rick Tocchet drops that we're going to play for you during the whiteboard, which is Rick Tocchet discussing his contract status. Just wait up one sec.
I'm
because
a huge dog lover.
Thank you.
That was the dog lover clip.
That was not related
to the contract.
By the way, good. Okay.
I'm a huge dog lover.
Yeah. Look, that's how you know Rick Tocchet's good people. If you don't like dogs, you're the worst. I'm sorry. Just how I feel.
Wow.
I wanted to set the scene on this, though, because out in, what is it, Boca Raton, I'm guessing? Yeah, out in Manaplan, Florida, where the GM meetings are taking place.
Mar-a-Lago?
I'm a man with a plan myself.
Yeah, I love a Manaplan.
Sounds like a whale.
My Manaplan is to go to Kissimmee. Also a weirdly named place in Florida.
No, nope. My Florida geography.
Yeah, my Florida,
Florida, yours is better.
My Florida humor is lost on this. Anyway,
yeah.
I think Rick Tocchet, so Pierre LeBrun, my colleague at The Athletic, caught up with Patrick Alvin and asked him about Rick Tocchet being on an expiring deal, albeit one with a team option for next season attached to it. What does the future hold for the Canucks and the reigning Jack Adams Award winner, LeBrun asked, to which Patrick Alvin responded, well, I think Rick Tocchet has done an impressive job under the circumstances here. He's well-liked by the players, he's a great communicator, and also has the ability to hold guys accountable. We have a club option on Tocchet's contract, but I sure hope that he's going to be part of this organization moving forward. That's a conversation that I hope we'll get to the finish line here, sooner rather than later. Tocchet was also asked today on Halford and Brough about his contractual status, and I would say he played it cool, wouldn't you? Let's hear from Tocchet himself. Dom?
Yeah, first of all, Francesco and the Accolade family and Patrick and Jim, you know, unreal relationship with myself. So they've been unbelievable up front with me. So that part's unreal. For me, I'm an all-in guy. I'm so, and you know, it's not a chicken, you know what I'm saying, answer. It's I'm all in on the trying to get this team in, trying to, you know, the energy level. I think it's better to wait for me so we can really sit down and talk, because I have no time to talk about my contract in the sense that, you know, what I want to do and stuff like that, because I'm all in with this team right now. It'll get when the appropriate time. That's really what it is. I can't really concentrate on that stuff. Like, I just, you know, every day we come in, we're really concentrating on a lot of different things. And I'm very comfortable, and I think they will too, that when it's appropriate time, we can spend some time and really dive in, you know, where we're going, what we're going to do and things like that. I think that's really the best answer I can give you guys.
So, it was a pretty different stance than I think Alvin gave to LeBron, at least in terms of like, hey, Alvin mentioned, right, that he wants to get this done sooner rather than later, whereas Rick Tocchet seems a little more willing to have patience.
Yeah, Tocchet needs some time. And citing at length the focus level, the demands in the season. Look, a head coach does a lot of stuff. One thing I tend to have issues with when we talk about what a head coach does and evaluate job performance is, you know, having worked closely with head coaches in the NHL, I can tell you, you know, a lot of the time and effort being spent is completely sight unseen to fans, right? You're effectively like a metronome, a daily metronome, scheduling sort of what's going on day to day, handling like middle management stuff. A lot of the job is sort of a culture metronome who sort of keeps things on schedule, keeps things accountable, right? And that's sort of what I think Tocchet's getting at. He's been pretty preoccupied with this team's fortunes, with figuring out how to get them ready, with sort of building up what he wants to build up here, and he's not ready to talk about it. I actually kind of believe him.
I would agree.
That didn't sound political to me. It didn't sound diplomatic or tactful or like a guy who was carving out a negotiating stance. It honestly sounded to me like a guy who wants to wait, wants to be able to take a beat after what's been, of course, a hugely challenging season behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And it does sound like a guy who wants to make sure that the vision of everybody is aligned if he's going to commit here long term. Like that, I honestly don't think that that was necessarily a negotiating ploy. It sounded to me like a guy who's like, hey, look, I need a breath here. I need to make the playoffs. I need to focus on the day to day. And at the end of the season, we'll have a wider conversation when I have time to really consider what I want, what you guys want, and what our shared vision is for this team going forward and whether or not we want to continue this down this path together. Like, I honestly thought that was a pretty frank and honest answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it answers any questions. Like, if you're someone who's like, what's Rick Tocchet's future hold in Vancouver? I think his answer poses more questions than it answers. But I think that's just the honest sense of what's going on. There's a team option. There's a coach who wants to take some time and make sure that he's on the same page with the organization about how they move forward here. And it'll get sorted out in time with obviously sort of the pressure and the nature of the conversation presumably being impacted pretty significantly by what happens over Vancouver's 15 remaining games here.
Definitely. And I also think if you are management, if you're Patrick Alvin, Jim Rutherford, you almost don't want him making a decision like this in the heat of the moment, right? In the course of this season that, as Alvin has mentioned, that Tocchet has talked about, it's been a rocky one, both on and off the ice for the Vancouver Canucks. It's almost better if you give it a week or two after the season ends, whenever that is for the Canucks, to let things unwind a little bit, try to regroup to an extent and come at it with a fresh mind. So I don't think, like you mentioned, this necessarily leans one way or the other from Rick Tocchet. It just is his stance. And that's all we can take away from it right now in regards to his future in Vancouver.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sounds like the organization wants to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Tocchet needs some time. We'll see where this lands, you know, potentially in May, potentially in late April, potentially in June, depending on how long this Canucks season extends, which only the team itself can answer with their performance.
We're going to June
here. Well, I mean, you could make the second round, go out in on May 20th.
Shows,
you know what
until
I'm saying?
June.
And then locker room cleanout day is not till the 25th, and you don't have a week off for Tocchet until early June.
I guess
they
don't
could,
even have
they
to.
Could make the second round, Thomas.
They could.
They could make the second round.
What are you saying?
Against the Winnipeg Jets, they could make the second round.
Maybe.
Stranger things have occurred.
The Columbus Blue Jackets swept the record-setting Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, but the Blue Jackets were good.
Big Blue Jackets guy, right? What are you saying? The Canucks aren't good?
That is what I'm saying. They're not the Duchesne, Panarin, Seth Jones, Werenski, Sergei Bobrovsky Blue Jackets.
That was
level
such
good.
A fun Blue Jackets
yeah,
team.
Brent Jenner. I mean, that was a good team. Like, that was a team with, you know, Josh Anderson.
Yeah.
That was a team with more of an identity than the Canucks have had this season. I don't think that's unfair to say, right?
Yeah,
that's mean the Canucks have an identity. It's lock it down, boring hockey.
Okay, so...
Anyway, the point is, stranger things have happened than the Canucks making it to the second round, so I'm sorry that I threw in June. Why are we getting bogged down in this?
No, we're not.
We've got
lots
of other stuff to discuss, Dom.
There's more. Okay, so...
Dom is not the metronome of this show.
No, anyway, the quote that has grabbed people's attention much more, because he's been the guy that has been the center of attention, the focal point of the season for the Vancouver Canucks. It's the dog lover quote. No, it's the Elias Pettersson quote from Rick Tocchet this morning. Here he is speaking to Jamie Dodd and Jason Brown.
This is a question at the end of the year that we really got to dive into. Right now, he's a great kid. I think there was a lot of expectations on him. I think he knows that. Was he ready for it over the summer this season? I think he's been a little surprised at what he had to do to maintain a level that we expect of from himself. So is there a little bit of catch up? Yeah, I can be totally honest with you. For him, and I know people joke about it, I say it all the time, and it's just not for him, it's the team. If you want to score goals or if you want to be a dominant player, you got to move your feet. You got to get to those areas. You got to be deceptive. You got to play North hockey. Regroup hockey, taking the puck back, it won't win in the NHL. I mean, I spent, 2 weeks with some of the great coaches of, with Cassie and DeBoer and John Cooper, and they promote the same thing, and I think sometimes P likes to regroup it, slow the game down. I'm not sure if how many years ago of doing that might have worked, but now you have to play a more North style, and we're just trying to reprogram his brain when it comes to that. And he's buying into that. That's why I think he's getting better at that. But there's another level for us and our team.
So there's Rick Tocchet speaking on Halford and Brough this morning. You can get the full interview with Jamie Dodd and Jason Brough wherever you get your podcast. The big thing that people are latching onto is near the end of that clip there, trying to reprogram his brain. And obviously talks about, hey, Elias Pettersson, he likes to play regroup hockey, likes to slow the game down, but the team wants to play more of a North style, and also Tocchet saying that's kind of where the league as a whole is going, is more of a fast-paced North style of game. What are your thoughts on the trying to reprogram his brain part of that and trying to switch his game, essentially?
I think it would be one thing if we were talking about Apex 100-point, 40-goal Elias Pettersson, but we're not. We're talking about a guy who's struggled across the past 12 months. Like, shouldn't the coaching staff be working with this player to get back on track, to get back to playing winning hockey, to get back to being a superstar-level contributor?
So I think most people interpret it, though, because that's how I took it. But I think most people are taking it as they're trying to get him away from what made him a 100-point player.
Yeah, I mean, there's an extent to which if what Pettersson was doing was working, this wouldn't be a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, right? If he was still a 100-point player, Taco would be like, you know what? You do you, man. It's fine.
100%.
Play how you want.
I mean, there's only so much that you coach in terms of offense anyway, right? Like, you want your skilled players to have the freedom and flexibility to make mistakes, to win games, to lean on their natural instincts and skill. And, is there an extent to which maybe that's been part of the issue? Partly why Pettersson's confidence has disappeared, right? Partly why, he hasn't been shooting enough or hasn't been trusting his shot or hasn't been. I mean, I'm open to that argument, but the idea that there's nothing for Pettersson to change in his game, given what we've seen over the last 12 months, the idea that there's, feedback or criticism that he should be above, I just don't think that matches what we're seeing.
So the secondary question to that is, when Pettersson is playing at his best, when he is a 100-point player, is he someone that plays regroup hockey and slows the game down, or is he a more North-style player that Rick Tocchet seems to be trying to shape him into?
I mean, I think he can be either. That's the thing, right? Like, I don't think there's only one way for a guy with Pettersson's tools and skill set and vision and, you know, honestly, like, flat out guts, right? I mean, one of the things that I think Pettersson arrived in the league with that stood out to me always was an instinct to go to the net and a level of discipline to go to the net. And look, doing that at 175 pounds, whatever he was, the actual weight number was always a sore topic for him. So it doesn't really matter what the actual number is. The point was, Pettersson arrived in the NHL, undersized from a weight perspective, right? He always had the length, but he didn't have the frame that he has now. And even then, like, go watch the bubble playoffs and go watch all those games that he was turning at the net front, like just taking Robin Lehner's eyes or, you know, taking Jordan Binnington's eyes, the way that he was disciplined about going to the net. Like, to me, if you have a natural goal scorer's instinct to keep it simple and go find pucks in the blue paint and be willing to pay the price to do so, even when you're, you know, however much he weighed as a young man in the league, like, that to me is the sort of skill set that I associate with a guy who can win being a North-South player. If you have his finishing ability, right? I mean, think about that first goal he ever scored against Calgary and how often we've seen him score off the rush. Think about how many times we've seen him make plays at high speed, whether it was a pass. Remember the chase down goal that he had against the Columbus Blue Jackets coming out of the penalty box? Like, we've seen how dangerous he can be doing the sorts of things that match what Tocchet is describing. I just fundamentally think that the apex version of Pettersson should be able to fit anywhere because he's conscientious, he's got a high motor, he's smart defensively, hasn't been as fast this season, but he's typically a pretty good skater, right? Not an elite skater, but a pretty quick skater. He's got the skill to make plays at top speed. He's got finishing ability that plays off the rush, and he's creative off the cycle. He's good from the hash marks down typically, even if, yeah, occasionally you'll see him fall down. That doesn't mean, like, he'll fall down and he often gets up with the puck, or he falls down, he makes a play while he's falling down. Like, that hasn't held him back even from, you know, succeeding playing smart, stupid hockey. Just sort of rimming the puck back around the net in the offensive zone. So this is a player who's shown us the versatility to succeed at wing, to succeed at center, to succeed as a goal scorer, to succeed as a playmaker, to succeed in his own end, to succeed on the power play. I struggle to believe, given his aptitude, his natural God-gifted talent, and the discipline with which he plays when he's on his game, that he can't fit in doing whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So that's the Pettersson part of this. We can get into it more as the show goes on, but quickly want to move through the whiteboard into lineup notes. So morning skate for the Canucks, 3 goalies on the ice at practice, but no Filip Hedl or Connor Garland. Connor Garland, Rick Tocchet mentioned in his media avail after that he will be a game-time decision, banged up. Obviously, he had that block shot against Utah on Sunday, but Tocchet saying it's more than just that, probably an accumulation of things, if I were to speculate on what's going on with Connor Garland. So game-time decision for him. The Canucks call up Linus Karlsson on emergency conditions. Here's what the lineup looked like. Nils Höglander skating with Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser. Jake DeBrusk with Pew Suter and Kiefer Sherwood. Drew O'Connor, Teddy Bluger, Linus Karlsson, and Dakota Joshua, Neil Zoman with Jonathan Lekker-Mäki. That's your forward group. Defense was Hughes, Hronek, Marcus Pettersson, Tyler Myers, Derek Forbert, Elias Pettersson, the coach confirming after morning skate that Mancini will be out tonight. Elias Pettersson will be in tonight. Also, Lekker-Mäki did take part in power play 1. He was in Connor Garland's spot, so probably depends on if Garland is in or not, if yes, Lekker-Mäki's going
to
be there.
Sounds like Garland is flat out just going to flip-flop with Lekker-Mäki if he can play. right? That's why you have him as a fill-in on PP1, and it's the Joshua line with Garland. Now, it's Neil Zaman instead of Bluger or Pugh Suter, but look, they haven't been able to recapture that magic in a bottle with Bluger between those two. Mm-hmm. Amon is massively limited offensively, but he's also a big body and actually has some offensive juice off the rush.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Not a lot. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bending over backwards to damn Neil Zaman with faint praise, but he's faster, certainly, than Bluger and Suter, which could be an interesting fit. It, just in terms of, hey, let's give one of our speedier centermen, a guy who actually can carry the puck through the neutral zone a bit, you know, our sort of best play-driving winger, and hope that we can find a bottom six line that can hack it against a very deep Jets team, right? Because that's the big threat of Winnipeg, is Kyle Connor can beat you, right? Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor and Vilardi can beat you. Mm-hmm. Perfetti and Ehlers can beat you on that second line. They can beat you on the third line. Rasmus Kupari can go off. Alex Iafallo can go off. Dylan Sandberg's been on a goal-scoring tear. I mean, this team has so many different ways to hurt you that fattening your lineup as much as possible, I think, makes a good deal of sense.
Kevin Lankinen will get the start, and Thatcher Demko is expected to travel with the team on their upcoming road trip, so a good sign for Thatcher Demko. Playoff standings update, and we go to Dom's model. Canucks up 1% from yesterday, up to 48%. Blues at 22. Utah stays steady at 19. The Flames down to 14%. Because they lost yesterday. They lost to the Flames, lost to the Leafs in Toronto, 6-2. So the Canucks back in the final wildcard spot on point percentage as well. Every wildcard chase team is in action tonight.
Yes. And the Canucks on the betting line, by the way, are +145. That's an implied prop. That's money line, +145. Jets -170 road favorites. So Canucks, pretty sizable home dogs. It's about a 40% implied probability. For what it's worth, the Blues on the road in Nashville are -115 pick'em favorites, 53% implied probability. Even the Utah Hockey Club on the road in Edmonton, +130, that's a 43.5% probability of victory. So of these chase pack teams here,
and then
right?
Flames and Rangers.
Yeah, well, they're +210. They're 33%. Yeah. One in three shot of beating the Rangers. So interesting, though, that the Utah Hockey Club is given shorter odds of beating the Oilers on the road than the Canucks are of beating the Jets at home. I mean, that's, I think, telling of where the market's at in terms of Vancouver at the moment, but also in terms of Winnipeg, mm-hmm. seen pretty widely, I think, as a juggernaut.
Connor Hellebuyck expected to get the start
for the
Winnipeg Jets. So that is the whiteboard. By the way, today is the 35th annual Canucks for Kids Telethon presented by TD for tonight's Canucks and Jets game. It raises critical funds to support children's health and wellness education and grassroots hockey across BC. If you want to donate, the telethon is now live. You can go to canucks.com/telethon to donate. There are thank you gifts. If you're a big dog guy like Rick Tocchet, you can get Rick Tocchet with a dog, a picture of Rick Tocchet and Canucks pup Eddie if you donate $100. He's a huge dog lover. And you'll have photo proof of it if you donate $100. That's your thank you gift. If you donate $150, you get the photo and a special Canucks portrait. Also, if you're going to the game tonight, there will be donation stations available throughout the arena at the game at Rogers Arena tonight. So once again, go to canucks.com/telethon. It is the 35th annual Canucks for Kids Fund Telethon. Before we go as well, CIBC Smart Everyday Banking helps you easily track your spending with confidence. Get $450 when you make the switch. Visit CIBC.com/smart. It is Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf, Thomas Drantz on the other side. Landon Ferraro going to join us. We'll get into everything going on with the Vancouver Canucks. That's next on Sportsnet 650.